Let's agree in prayer. Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your riches, the riches of your glory you've bestowed upon us by your redemptive work on the cross and your resurrection power. We do declare and decree that as we go into the world this evening, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which is bestowed upon us. We decree that there is no confusion as the word of truth is taught. Our hearts, we also decree, are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. That at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ and Him alone is glorified. We pray that there is no confusion. There is no confusion in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we have clarity and precision as we study the word this evening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go straight into the word. We've been dealing with investigating scriptures for a while, and we might have a break on that line, but we might have a break on the lines we've been going through in church, because we've laid so much foundation in a couple of our services in church, you know. But for the benefit of those that might not have listened to that or those teachings, we will just investigate scriptures on almost like a new platform. Yeah, so do well to follow attentively, and we trust that we will gain clarity today. You know, this is a time right now where the truth is that no matter what we go through and the challenges we go through, that should not determine the kinds of messages or the message we preach, because we should as much as possible maintain Christ and Him glorified in every message we teach. So whether there is a virus or there is no virus, the message remains constant. What is the message? Christ and Him glorified. There is nothing more to that. There is nothing more to that. You know, in and out of season, we maintain the constant truth of God's word. We maintain the constant reality, a constant truth of the reality that we have based on the work of Christ. Yeah, so today we're going to be investigating scriptures, you know, and also we trust that we will be fine at the end of this meeting. Yeah, if you have the Bibles with you there, you could turn with me to the book of James chapter 1 verse 16. 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 James is the book just after the book of Hebrews, just before you have the collection of Peter. James chapter 1 verse 16. You know, James is writing, and you know, we're going to have to study a few verses just before and after, but just for now we can start with James 1:16. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren." What does it mean to err? To err there simply means to go into error. It means to be led astray. Yeah, it means going astray. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So do not go astray, my beloved brethren. Do not go into error, my beloved brethren. You know, that word there in the initial manuscript is not as much as a mistake. You know, it actually implies there is something or a deliberate effort. Or, well, it could also go for a careless standpoint, you know, but it's actually not more of a mistake, but more of something or someone being responsible for that action. Yeah, so that do not err, do not go into error. That means do not be led astray. Do not lead yourself astray, my beloved brethren. What should we not lead ourselves astray regarding? Verse 17 says, every good giving, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's a good scripture, a good verse of scripture to read. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Yeah, that means there is a gift that is from above, and that gift can be considered as a good and perfect. Yeah, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. You know that word there, variableness, means you know, when something varies. When something varies, when something is a variable, I'm sure I know, I mean, we've learned in some calculations, and you know, when you have some constants introduced in some formulas, and you have to, you say you have some variables in the formula, it means that when you say something is a variable, it means it can change from time with time, without time, with respect to people or persons, yeah. But it's saying that this good and perfect gift that is from above, there is no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turning. Yet there is no shadow. There is no variableness with that good and perfect gift from above. See, that word error is the same word. You know, talk with me also to Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. Matthew 18, verse 12. You know, that word error, you know, we said is to be led astray. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. See what it says in, see what it says. It says, how think ye, look at verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Now this is going to be a very vital aspect of our study today. Yeah, see that verse 11 again, Matthew 8 verse 11. It says, the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Yeah, to save that which is lost. Not to inflict sickness on that which is lost. Yeah, not to neglect that which is lost, but to save that which is lost. Look at verse 12. How think ye, if a man have a hundred sheep, here, King James translation, and one of them be gone astray. That word there, gone astray, is that word that means error. Yeah, that word that means error. So, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which gone astray? That one that has gone into error. Yeah, remember, this going into error is dependent or has to do with there being a presence of something or someone. So someone or something is responsible for this activity. Hallelujah. Yeah, and if so, look at verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Yeah, beautiful scripture. You know, you see, go back to James chapter 1. Yeah, James chapter 1 verse 16 is saying, do not go into error. Yeah, do not be led astray, my beloved brethren. What are you not to be led astray in reference to? In reference to the fact that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. That means James is saying, don't go into error about the perfection or the goodness of that gift that is from above. Don't go into error as regards the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. Don't be led astray as regards the goodness of that gift that is from above. Do not be led astray as regards that good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of light. Hallelujah. You know, we are in a situation right now where the global, the world at large is in a fix where we have so many people implying so many things, you know, about God's nature. You know, but the truth remains that as believers, we cannot afford not to be absolute about the nature of our Father. Yeah, we cannot afford not to be. That means we cannot afford not to be absolute. Yeah, what does that mean? It means that we cannot afford to be led astray as regards the nature of our Father. We cannot afford to be led astray as regards that good and perfect gift of our Father that cometh from above. We cannot afford to be led astray as regards variableness or shadow of turning in reference to that good and perfect gift that comes from above. So how do we establish this? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul writing to his spiritual son, telling him to study to show himself as approved of God. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know, this is Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. You know, before you get to verse 15, see something he says in verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou art heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Yeah, Paul is telling Timothy that, oh well, my son, you know that you can acknowledge that what? There are some things as regards the faith that you've heard from me. Those same things, commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That means there's such a thing as same thing. Yeah. So if Paul being the spiritual father of Timothy, and Timothy being the spiritual son, and there's a doctrine that Paul has communicated to Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, that thing you heard from me. Yeah? that thing you've heard from me, commit those things, that particular thing. Yeah, you can either call them those things or that thing. Yeah, commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also the same thing I have committed to you. Yes, yes, the same thing I've committed to you. You must have faithful men that you're committing it to, and they must commit it to others. Yeah. Now, if you read further, you go to verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, study to show thyself approved unto God. Yeah, what Paul is really saying is that study to show that you've been approved of God. Yeah, and have a disposition of a workman. The Greek word there for that word workman, there is a word that means a toiler or a laborer. Yeah, that means a man that is involved in studying must have an attitude of a laborer. It means that a man that is involved in studying must have an attitude of a workman. Which workman is this? This workman that needed not to be ashamed, yes, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, if there is a rightly dividing the word of truth, there's also a wrongly dividing the word of truth. What I mean is this: if there is a right way of dividing the word of truth, there is also a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. But Paul is telling Timothy, have the attitude of what? Having a rightly dividing mindset towards the word of truth. That word there, study, the first word there in verse 15, the word there, study, is the word that means labor. Yeah, another word for that can be eager, be diligent, be eager. Have an attitude of painstaking reading. Have an attitude of researchful reading. Have a comprehensive attitude, or have a comprehensive regards to study. Yeah, not just cherry picking. Not just go here. Not just using scriptures for quoting a memory. In fact, just go to the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 15. Paul, the same letter. Paul is writing to Timothy. Remember, the Bible wasn't written in verses and in chapters. Yeah, so we can read from verse 15 through into chapter 3 and verse 15. Yeah, look at what Paul is saying to the same Timothy. Verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Look at it. Is that similar to 2 Timothy 2 verse 2? Yes, yes. 2 Timothy 2 says, and the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Verse 14 of chapter 3, he's saying, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom hast learned them from. Yeah, so he's saying that you are sure of me that has taught you. Continue. For you to continue, it means that understanding is something you learn from people. That means you are to continue in what you've learned from someone. That means Timothy is to continue what he's learned from Paul. Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That means the holy scriptures have an ability to give wisdom unto, or in reference or pertaining salvation. Yeah, what I did there was that word there unto is the word that means concerning or pertaining. So we can say, that, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have an ability to make thee wise concerning or pertaining salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, see verse 16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. That word there, profitable, is the word that means advantageous. That word there for doctrine is the word that means teaching. The word there for reproof, that is the word that means assurance or evidence. Yeah, the Greek word assurance, the Greek word that means assurance or evidence. The word there for correction is the word there that means to rectify or to straighten up. Yeah, what is Paul saying to Timothy? He's saying that all scriptures is given by inspiration. Never forget that. All scriptures is given by inspiration. That means scriptures are inspired by God. Now look at it carefully. If scriptures are inspired by God, it means that there is a wisdom that we must get from scriptures. What is that wisdom? That wisdom is in reference or concerning salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He now says all scriptures given by inspiration of God is advantageous for teaching, for evidence, and for rectification, to rectify a thought pattern or a system. And he now says for instruction in righteousness. You see, we don't see Paul saying that scriptures are given for quoting. No. Scriptures are not given for quoting. No, we can quote scriptures to make life easy. No, I think I should rephrase that. We can quote scriptures for us to be able to quote scriptures. Yeah, but scriptures are not given to be quoted. They are given to be taught. They are given to be used as teaching aids. They are given to be used for teaching. That means when we have scriptures, we teach. When we have a teaching meeting, we use scriptures to teach. Hallelujah. It means when we want to teach about God, about wisdom of salvation, we use scriptures to teach. Remember at the time when Paul wrote this, the book of Timothy was not in existence. Yeah? So all they had access to was most likely Genesis to Malachi. And he's saying that these scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, they are inspired by God and they have an advantage. What's the advantage? Advantage is for teaching. In teaching, what do you have? You get assurance. In assurance, what do we have? We get correction. In correction, what do we have? We get instruction in righteousness. Remember, all of these, they sum up to give a wisdom in reference to salvation. So it means that when we go through scriptures, we should be looking for a wisdom, or rather, whatever wisdom we take from scriptures should be a wisdom in reference to the saving power of our Lord Jesus, saving power of our Father God. Yeah, whatever we teach from scriptures should show us the saving ability of God. Yeah, go back to James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, 16, where we were before. James chapter 1, verse 16. James 1, verse 16. My beloved brethren, do not err. My beloved brethren, do not go into error. In fact, before you continue there, go back to verse 13. James 1, verse 13. You see, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let no man say, in fact, that word there, no man, that word there, man, actually, no man, actually, is the word in the initial manuscript, actually, none. Yeah, so let none say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. So let no one go through trials and say that God is testing you. Yeah, let no one say that when God is going through trials, going through difficulties in life, yeah, you say God is tempting. In fact, before you even go on, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you can go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you will see what Paul wrote to Timothy from verse 11. Verse 11, 2 Timothy 3, he says, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So when you go through persecution, afflictions, what is God's responsibility in that? God's saving power. The Lord delivered me. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. Yeah. So in as much as you wake up every morning and say, oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, sin has no power over me. I'm born of God. I rule the world. Yeah. It's also not bad to make a confession and say what? I shall suffer persecution because I'm in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Paul didn't say that persecution. Paul never taught the doctrine of a life without Christ will be full of crises. No, no, no. In fact, what Paul is actually saying is that a life with Christ actually is actually supposed to be full of so many crises. Yeah, taking crises to be persecution, affliction. Yeah, go back to James chapter 1. Now, Paul is saying what? Everyone will go through persecution. Verse 14 says, but continue in as much as you go through persecution. So if you go back to James chapter 1 and what Paul is teaching, you will see that they are almost the same. So James chapter 1, let none. That none would include instances, experiences, men. Let none of this say that when, let no persecution you go through point to you that it is God that is involved in persecution. No, no, no. Men will always be men. So James is writing concerning impressions you could have when you read scriptures. Yeah, so God is trying to test my faith. You know, I shared a post recently, I think yesterday, a brother that reached out to me and said he wanted me to pray for him, that he was sick and everything, but he just feels that the sickness is God testing his faith. You know, I just felt like if God is teaching you a lesson, why should I interpret God? Who am I? Who am I to interrupt God? You know, why don't we just watch it and let's see how God teaches you the lesson. Let's see how much of the lesson you can learn. Yeah, so James is saying when you go through challenges, when you have a sickness, do not say it is about God. Okay. Do not say it is about God. Do not go into error concerning the impressions you have. Yeah. So when you go back to Genesis and you say God inflicted people with sicknesses, what is James saying? My dear brethren, my dear beloved brethren, don't go into error. Do not be led astray. Oh, but Job said God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, 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 no. James says what? My beloved brethren, do not go into error. You know, it's very interesting for people to use, you know, Job's experience is one of the easiest experiences people can use to say, oh, God wants to use his almighty, God wants to show you his almightiness by the sickness he gives you. Oh, no, no, God doesn't have sickness with him. God doesn't have sickness to give. No, 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 no. God could not have inflicted Job with sicknesses. No. No, sickness of, see, a proper understanding of this would make us able to demonstrate the power of God easily. A proper understanding of God's nature, God's absolute nature, will make us demonstrate God's absolute power easily. You know, if you go back to Job, in fact, hold your hands in James 1 and run with me to the book of Job. Job, you know, if you read, because of our time, we will not start reading from Job chapter 1. You know, but just run with me to Job chapter 37. So, you know, the Bible wants everything in chapters and verses. It simply means that when you read a book, try and read up until the end. You know, if a lot of us could just spend time to read Job up until the last chapter, we'll realize that what? Oga Job was saying the most. Oga Job was saying the most. Job chapter 37. Look at Job 37. Job 37. After Job said, God gives, God takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, looks like a positive confession. No, that is an error. James tells you what? Do not go into error. Look at James chapter 3, chapter 37, Job rather, chapter 37, verse 23. Look at this. Look at what it says. As touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. Yeah, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. I mean, it should be in your Bible. If you are opening your Bible now, you should see it. He will not afflict. In fact, if you think that is not enough to build a doctrine, in fact, go to Job chapter 42, verse 3. I think I'm looking for a translation. Give me a second. Yeah. Job 42, verse 3. Your translation will say, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Can you see that? James, Job is saying that he has uttered so many things too wonderful for him that he did not know. Look at verse 4. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearings of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. You see, a lot of us have our understanding of God based on what people say. Yeah, someone says he flies from Nigeria to Ethiopia and sees the fornication and sees the sin and the angel of living God. No, 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 no. If you love Spider-Man, there is nothing wrong in loving Spider-Man. Yeah, if you love watching Marvel Studio movies, there is nothing wrong in that. Yeah. So you don't. A lot of us build our doctrine and understanding from God based on hearsay. What is Job saying? He's saying, I have heard of thee, verse 5, chapter 42. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Oh, no. My eyes see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What is Job saying? All those things that I've been saying before, now my eyes see. All those things I've been saying, it's people that were telling me, it's hearsay, them say. You know, if you read the translation of that, of message translation of that, you see it amplified on message. Look at what message said. Job answered unto God from verse 1. I am confused you can do anything and everything. Okay, be careful of a man that said God gives and takes and is repenting. Yeah, the moment you say God can do anything and everything, you are becoming absolute with such a character, it will mean that you are adding the fact that God can steal and lie. Yeah, so you have to be careful of that same man that said God did evil and is now repenting. But look at the saying, nothing and no one can upset your plans. Job 42, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what I'm reading in message translation. He said, you asked, who is this muddying the waters? Ignorantly confusing the issues, second guessing my purposes. I admit I was the one. Look at what Job says. I blabbed on about things far beyond me. Made small talk about wonders way over my head. Yeah? You told me, listen, and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers. I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Who is he talking to? I once lived by rumors of God. So Job lived a life of rumor or a life based on rumors of God. Now I have it all firsthand. For my own eyes and ears, I am sorry, forgive me. I will never do that again, I promise. Yeah. I will never again live on crust of hearsay. Them say. What did he not end it with? Crumbs of rumor. Oh, glory to God. Do not err. Yeah, that is to tell you that Job, in his earlier chapters of his books, had erred. He had gone into error. But he is repenting. He said, I have known you through rumors. You see, the reason why we have so many misunderstandings about God's nature is because people fail to understand that God cannot be understood outside the person of Christ. Christ is the full revelation of God to mankind. In fact, Christ is that T-text that corrects every wrong notion that we have about God. Yeah, God cannot be double-sided, or else we are in trouble. It means tomorrow he can wake up and change. Think about it. Yeah, yeah. He can wake up today and revoke all your salvation, like a land in Nigeria. Yeah, he can revoke your salvation. Yeah, he can revoke your salvation. But remember, so you cannot say God used to kill before and God doesn't kill now. What changed? Yet you are singing, unchangeable you are the Lord, unchangeable you are the Lord. But you just said he changed. A man that was killed and has stopped killing has changed. He's a changeable person. It means that God can change tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at, see, Christ is the full expression of, look, talk with me to Colossians 2. Go to Colossians 2 verse 9. Christ is the full expression of the Father. You cannot know the Father without seeing Christ. Or the same Paul, Apostle Paul, Colossians 2 verse 9. He says something very beautiful. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. So, when you want to see the completeness, if there's one like that, of God, where do you see it? You see that in Christ. If you want to see the completeness of God, where do you see that? You see God in Christ. Yeah. So Christ is the full revelation. Christ is God revealed to mankind. Yeah. So you cannot understand God without understanding Christ. It is when you don't understand Christ, you can say God used to kill and he stopped killing. No, God does not kill. God does not have... Think about it this way. If you say that God used to kill before and is now saying that we should be as God, and you know, and you're preaching and we're teaching that we should be like God our Father, yeah, it will mean that we have the ability to be evil once in a while. After all, it's God. After all, we're like him. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, a better way to read that, because we're not focusing on that, is to say that the prophet at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers. Yeah, God doesn't speak in variable ways. God doesn't speak in variable ways. God doesn't speak in variable ways. God has a constant way. God has a full. So, if you want to look at the exigencies of God, if you want to see God explain, who do you look for? Look for Christ. How do we know that? See what he says in verse 2. God hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. Yeah? Spoken unto us in his Son. A good way to read that. Whom he had appointed to be heir of all things. Now, he's not saying that Jesus is the heir of all. He's not saying that Jesus is the inheritor of all the lands. And, no. The heir of all things, really in context, will be the heir of the things that the prophet spoke in diverse manners. So, Christ is the fulfiller of the diverse things that the prophet spoke in diverse manners. Christ is the fulfillment. So when you see Christ, all diversity is streamlined to a single knowledge. Yeah? Look at verse 3. Whom being, that is Christ, being the brightness of his glory, the exact image, the express image, the express imprint of his person. So who is the exact express image of his person? Yeah, the image of God is Christ. Yeah, so I'm sure you'll be thinking by now, yeah? And God said, let us make man in our own image. No, that cannot be you and I. Yeah, so God cannot have diversified nature because his beauty cannot be in variableness. Yeah, but you know, God cannot be fine and ugly. Hebrews 1 verse 3, Christ being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So Christ is the image of God. So if you are looking for God, the express image of God is seen as Christ. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. Christ is the full exegesis and revelation of God to mankind. Without God, without Christ, mankind remains ignorant of the true nature of God. Yeah? Without God, mankind remains ignorant of the true nature of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Look at that though. That means if you have a notepad, you can write Word equal to God. So in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. And the God was with God. Yeah, and the God was with God. And God was God. Yeah, the same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing. Was not anything that was made. Verse 4. Verse 4 now says something. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and what? The darkness comprehended it not. So it simply means that when we are reading, remember we've read 2 Timothy, it says that when we are reading scriptures, we have salvation as the wisdom we take. You see, what John is simply doing here is simply explaining the book of Genesis. Yeah, but we're not going to that today. So, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who is that light? The light is that life. That life was the light of men. So, if God is light and God is life, if God is light, that means there is no darkness in God. That means everywhere you saw, you know, people say God's judgment, God has a merciful and I don't know how people say it, you know, but it's a very careless statement to make. Yeah, God kills people based on his judgment. Yeah, God kills people as a proof of his love for some people. It simply means that God can kill you tomorrow to show me he loves me. That is just, it simply means that God can kill you, or God can ask me to kill you to show that he loves me. You know, so we are to read scriptures with the knowledge that God is light. We are to read scriptures with the knowledge that God is light. We are to read scriptures with the knowledge that the full expression of God is seen as Christ, in Christ. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. Look at verse 14. And the word was made flesh. Can we say, remember if you have been following, we said from verse 1, word is equal to God. So can we say that word is equal to God can be replaced in verse 14, and God was made flesh and dwelt among us? Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. So God was made flesh and he dwelt among us. Yeah? And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see Christ as the lens or the correction to our understanding of God. Yeah? We see Christ as God explaining himself to mankind. We see Christ as the common sense of God. We see Christ as the revelation of God to mankind. We see Christ as the revelation of God to mankind. We see Christ as the university of God. Yeah, we see Christ. In fact, write it this way. You can say it this way. We see Christ as the curriculum of God. Yeah, you can say it this way. We see Christ as the syllables of God. So if you are confused about any knowledge in reference to God, who do you look for? Christ. Remember James 1:16, do not err. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, with whom there is no variableness. Yeah? So that word that became flesh, it is God that became flesh. So Jesus is not one small boy that God just said, just go and just die. Let me just be the God here. You know, we grew up having a mindset that God is on one big massive throne, then Jesus is on one stool, maybe doing the nails of God, you know, and the Holy Spirit is floating like a dove. No, the Holy Spirit cannot be a dove. That's an insult. Animal. Abba. No, the Holy Spirit cannot be a dove. Yeah, but the truth is that Jesus is the full expression, he says, Colossians 2, the fullness. God had dwelt bodily in Christ. Oh, glory to God. James 1 says, do not err. See, God is not testing anybody. God is not trying to show his almightiness. Imagine, I gave an example. Imagine I want to show you I know how to sweep. And I go to a room that is full of rock and go and buy 20 bags of rice and just start scratching. Someone now walks into the room and I'll say, bro, what are you doing? I say, I'm just trying to prove to you all I can sweep. No. That doesn't make sense. No. How can God be trying to prove his almightiness and inflicting people with sickness? Even Job, that said God inflicted him, and God takes and God gives, said God does not afflict. He repented. He said he heard based on rumors. Oh, no. God is not trying to show his almightiness. No. It doesn't make any sense. Yet, no matter who says it. Yeah. The Bible has the final authority over our lives as Christians. No matter who says God is trying to prove his almightiness. Think about it. We say God is trying to prove his almightiness. So, why are we saying stay at home? If God is trying to prove his almightiness, so you mean his almightiness cannot get you in your house? Or you think when people close the border, his almightiness, they are stopping his almightiness? No. That God is too shallow now. Think about it. No. God does not. All God had to prove was to show his loving kindness by Christ. He became flesh. Men had false impressions of God. Jesus came to correct those impressions. Jesus is the correcting tipex. Jesus is the eraser of God. Jesus is the correcting tipex of God. You see, I said something earlier. A proper understanding of God's nature will help in the demonstration of God's power. We cannot afford not to be absolute. We have to be absolute about God's nature. Evil cannot be from God. evil cannot be from God. You know, there's someone that's trending, you know, did a very long post of how the angels of the Lord were taking around countries to show her the scene. No, that is false doctrine. That is error. That is ignorance being amplified under the guise of emotions and spiritualizing it. That is ignorance almost at its peak. That is false doctrine. No, we have to say no to false doctrine. Glory to God. Oh, no, that cannot be God. Yeah, God. No. In fact, if you want to understand that, go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. No. No matter who says it, if you like have 20 billion followers, if you're an error, you're an error. Yeah? But James says, well, do not go into error. Do not go into error. Look at Hebrews. If you have your Bible there, your Bible in Hebrews should show you in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. What does it say? It says what? He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yeah, he's not saying that God doesn't have remembering, God has remembrance problem. It's like he will not take into account the sins and iniquities of the people. So why will God now come and be carrying you and be flying, to be showing you that these ones, they are in democracy, they are doing this, their sin is this one. No. That is ignorance amplified with emotional blackmail, amplified under the guise of spiritual. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. So, Hebrews 8, it says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 16. You see, as believers, this is a time to be bold about sound doctrine. Yeah, this is not a time to be timid. Yeah, this is not a time to go back into your shell. Post the good news. Post that goodness of our Lord. Post that goodness and correct those that have gone into error. Those that say that there's a variableness with God. Oh, no, there is no. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 16. It says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Yeah, that was quoted from Jeremiah 31. It says, look at verse 17, Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yeah, a good way to write that is, and their sins and iniquity will not be taken account of. So there will not be a taking of account, or there will not be a taking account of the wrong in dealings with men. Yeah, it's not that God has memory issue. It's not that God has memory loss. No, it's that he will not take account the sins of men. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, so Corona, for instance, yeah, you know, we're just using that as a subject right now because that is the in thing that is trending right now. Corona is not God expressing his almightiness. No. God cannot. Think about it. It simply means that you are better than God. You know, for such people that have such slant, if you ask them a question, can they go and take a disease in an injection and inject their child just because they want the child to return back to them? Maybe the child is stubborn. You see, most of them will say no, if not all. But you are saying God can do that. So it simply means that you are better than God. Think about it. The way you are a father to your child is the same way God is a father to you. You as a father cannot put viruses or virus in the life or in the skin of your child just because you want to teach him a lesson. Now, but God can do that to you. Abba. No. It simply means that you are better than God. In fact, you are God. You are God. Yeah. So if you like, pray for 15 days rain or 500 million days rain to wash. No. The washing and cleansing of water, the water that God has is the water of the Spirit. Yeah, the water, the Bible says in John 3, verse 1, a man cannot be born again except he is born of water, which is the Spirit. That word there, water, the word there, and is the word that means is explaining the Spirit. So he says in the last day, John chapter 5, in John chapter 7, in the last day, he cried out saying that let those that are thirsty come and drink of him from the living water. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water is not from our belly. We don't have living waters to give. Living water rather to give. Yeah, so back to Hebrews, we are saying that there is forgiveness with God. He says their sins and iniquity I will not take into account. Why? Because of that sacrifice of Christ. Oh, glory to God. I will not take into account. God is merciful only. All you can find with God is mercy. All you can find with God is mercy. All that God has to give is, in fact, look at Psalm 130, verse 3. You know, we can't afford to be careless about our faith. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Oh my goodness. You think too highly of yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. Look at, see. Psalm 130, verse 3. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? No one can stand if God were to take into account sins of men. No one can stand. none can stand. Let no man say God is taking into account the sins of men. That's why he's punishing man. No. No, that's not fair. No, that's a blackmail on the nature of God. In fact, that's a wrong painting of our Father. Yeah, look at Hebrews, the same Psalm, look at verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That word there, feared, means to be referenced. So, does God want to be feared? Yes, he wants to be feared. What should we think about when you are fearing God? Yeah, the forgiveness that's with him. Yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, the fear, what fear should that be? What wisdom should that be? The wisdom should be in reference to what? There is forgiveness with him. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, I know your mind might be thinking, but God destroyed the earth during Noah's time. Now, what if he wants to destroy it again? No. Let's take the scriptures for what they are. You see, if God is involved in this day and time, all his power will be seen as a saving power. All his power will be seen as a saving power full of mercy. All his power will be seen as a saving power full of mercy. Remember 2 Timothy 3, where we started from, verse 16. Scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. Scriptures are to make us wise unto concerning God's saving power. Yeah? Yeah? Look at 2 Peter 3, 15. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, glory to God. God is a wonderful Father. Oh, yeah? Imagine that you're singing, you are a good, good Father. He's who you are. Yeah? Yeah? Because it has not gotten to you. Oh, no. God is a good, good Father. In fact, you even think that, okay, in fact, yeah? Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. An account, take into account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What is long suffering? The patience. So when you see God's patience, what should you see his patience leading to? To save. Take into account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to all the wisdom given to him, written unto you. So take into account, don't go into error. Take into account, put at the forefront of your head, the long suffering of our Lord leads to salvation. Leads to salvation. You see, a wrong understanding. See Galatians 1. You see, the Bible should have the final authority over our lives. You know, in the series we are doing, investigating scriptures, you know, I've mentioned time and again. Look at Galatians 1 verse 8. Galatians 1, 8. I've mentioned time and again that results are not proof that you are, a result is not a proof that you are doing this, that you are doing the right thing. Yeah, that you are healing 500 million people per second doesn't mean that what you are saying afterwards is the right thing. No. Herbalists have results. Yeah, Yahoo guys have results. Yeah, 419s have results. Thieves have results. Yeah, so the result does not validate that what they are doing is right. Yeah, results are not to validate. That's why when we are building doctrine, we don't build doctrine based on that one has result. This one doesn't have result. Let's listen to the one that has result. No. That's what has led a lot of us into the error that we find ourselves right now. Yeah, a poor understanding of God. Look at Galatians 1 verse 8. Look at what it says. Look at verse 6. Galatians 1 verse 6. I marvel that ye are so removed from him that calleth you into the grace of our Christ Jesus, of Christ, unto another gospel. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What did Paul say? Paul said that even if he wakes up tomorrow and preaches another gospel to you, yeah, the word there accursed means to be separated, to put aside, to mark. Yeah, do not touch, don't go close to. So Paul is putting himself in that category. Talk more of angel. Talk more of someone that is flying with angel's wing. Yeah, he says, be accursed. No, don't post them. Don't repost them. Don't encourage them by liking it. No. Let them be accursed. In fact, block, separate, put aside. Let him be accursed. A poor understanding of God. In fact, a lot of things we say about God, we don't know that we are putting God and the devil on the same page. No. We are trying to say that God, so it means that you can, if you say God does evil, God kills, God gives people with sickness, and you're saying the devil also kills and gives people sickness. You're trying to say that you can put God and the devil on the table and collect like terms. Yeah? CLT. Yeah? You can collect the highest common factor. And you confidently say the highest common factor is that both of them inflict with sickness. Both of them kill. No, you cannot put God on the same page with the devil. So the question now that I'm coming to a couple of us, our minds, so all those plagues, all those sicknesses, so who gave them, who did them, who? No. You must now. It's important to note that since Christ is the full explanation of God, yeah, we are safe to stick with the teachings that Christ taught and the teachings that the people that Christ taught. What I mean is that, you know, Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 2, we see that Jesus taught for 40 days after resurrection. He taught for 40 days. So we are safe to stick with the sound doctrine that the apostles that were there or the disciples that were there in that 40 days teaching, what they teach and say. Oh, glory to God. God's long suffering is salvation. Yeah. So if you're saying God gives sickness, devil gives sickness. Yeah, God, but the difference is that God's own is to test, but devil's own is to afflict. Yeah. Let's stop doing past ourselves. Yeah. Say God and the devil, we cannot collect lightens. God is not as evil. So you are indirectly saying that God is evil, but not as evil as the devil. Look at John 10:10, my people. Look at John, the book of John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is Jesus coming. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am that good shepherd that gives himself his life for the sheep. Oh, no. The moment you say God kills or God has killed or God steals or God destroys, you've succeeded in calling God a thief. He says, I am the good shepherd. Instead of killing or destroying, I will give my life for the sheep. I will give my life. We saw that he gave his life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, we see that given in the resurrection reality of what Christ did. See, there is no middle ground about God's character. There is no middle ground. On God's character, we are meant to be absolute. God is love, God is light, and there is no darkness in him. He is good and good only. Look at Acts 10 verse 38. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Remember, the thief is the one that kills and steals and destroys. So that means everywhere you see killing, destruction, with God attached in the Old Testament, who is really working there? The thief. That great thief. The great thief. You know the thief? The devil. Look at Acts 10. Look at verse 37. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Look at verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and giving people coronavirus for them to come close to him. Yeah, you must have a very Quranic Bible. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. My translation says this: he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was healing all that were oppressed of that thief. That thief. For God was with him. He didn't go around giving people sicknesses. No. He didn't go around giving people sicknesses. He was healing. God does not give people sicknesses. God does not give people viruses. No. Remember James 1:13, let none say that when he is tempted of God. Look at Matthew 10 verse 5. Look at Matthew chapter 10 verse 5. The 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, what did Jesus command them saying? Remember, Jesus is the full expression of God. Yeah, if you're not listening to that teaching, after this message, you can just reach out to me. I'll send you a teaching on Jesus, our God. Yeah, that our 30 minutes, you know, that we explain how Jesus is the full expression of God. Yeah, but remember, we've done a little of that in this teaching. Look at verse 5. The 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. What did Jesus command them, saying? Go not into the way of the Gentiles and not into the city of Samaritans, enter ye not. He said, but verse 6, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel, and as you go, what did he say? Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah, what is the kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven is that resurrection reality. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Desire to see that reality of resurrection. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God is about his resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 shows us that it was teaching pertaining the kingdom of God. That means it was teaching pertaining concerning the resurrection reality. Yeah, so when he's saying go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what did he say in verse 8? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, glory to God. That is the command we see from our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says what? Heal. Not inflict. No, heal. You see, if you don't have a good understanding of God's nature, it will be difficult to understand the power of God that God has wrought towards you for believing. Yeah, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Yeah, raise the dead. The believer has the power to heal the sick. Now, think about it. When Jesus gave them this authority, remember the people that were going to heal the sick were not believers. You see, miracles are not proofs that you are in alignment with God's will. Yeah, the people that Jesus commanded, remember, you are only a believer when you believe the resurrection reality. So at the time they were healing the sick, they were not believers. Yeah, but they could heal the sick. Yeah, even at that, they could heal the sick. Even at that, the instruction was to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, not kill people, not destroy people. In fact, you know, God of Elijah, yeah, turn your Bible to Luke 9:51. Yeah, yeah. We live in a generation right now where a lot of people use the name of Jesus to kill people that don't die based on that prayer. What I said is quite ambiguous. Yeah, God does not kill. The name of Jesus means salvation. Salvation. God does not kill. God does not destroy. Name of Jesus means salvation. Name of Jesus means salvation. It means God has come to save. It means God saves. Look at what these same disciples did in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should not be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he set messengers before his face. And they went and entered the same village of Samaritans to make ready for him. Look at what the people in the Samaritans did. They did not receive him. They did not receive him. Because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. Look at verse 54. The God of Elijah people. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, what did they see? That they did not receive him. They said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Did Elias call down fire? Yes. God of Elijah. Yeah, that's where we got the song from. God of Elijah, send down fire. Yeah. That's where we get the song from. But the truth remains that Elijah called down fire. Was the fire from God? No. Did Elijah call down fire? Yes. Did he respond? Yes. Was it from God? No. How do we know? Jesus, the full expression of God, is putting a correcting tipex to that knowledge we see in 1 Kings. But he turned, that is, Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit I am of. Yeah, in the real sense, he's not talking about ye are of. It's actually about I am of. Because at the time, they were not born again. So it is. That's why the next verse will say, for the Son of Man is not come. So he was actually talking about himself. So a good translation would be that, ye know not what manner the spirit I am of. For the Son of Man, who is the full expression of God, who is that word that is God that became flesh, is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. So he put a correcting tipex. Yeah, do not go into error. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. You see, with all of this that is going on, what we are trying to do here is to clear all myths about God's dual nature. You know, and with this, we will see that it is easy for us to operate in the supernatural. You know, every man that has believed the gospel is full of the Holy Ghost. Every man that has been, look at Luke 11. In fact, before you go to Luke 11, put your hands in Luke 11, which is the next chapter for where we just read. Put your hands there and go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 39. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, I am... if any man be thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Whose belly? Jesus' belly. Jesus' belly. What is that living water? Verse 39 explains. The living water, he spake he of the Spirit. So he used living water to be figurative for the Spirit. Yeah, he's not saying water. Yeah, he's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. How do you know a man that is thirsty? A man that is thirsty is he that has not yet believed the gospel. So, the moment a man that has believed the gospel, the moment a man believes the gospel, he is no longer thirsty. Why? He has drank from that living water. He has drank from the supply of the Spirit. Yeah? Christ died and rose again to give us the Spirit. Christ died and rose again to live in us by his Spirit. Yeah? So, every believer has the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is no room for fear. Yeah, the Holy Spirit comes with confidence and boldness. But remember, what shakes the boldness and confidence of people is their knowledge on the dual nature of God. Look at Luke 11. Remember, your hands in Luke 11. Yeah, look at Luke 11 verse 13. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If ye then, being evil, can you see? Remember the example I gave. You cannot give evil things to your child. But you are saying God is giving evil thing to the earth. Yeah, except you are saying we don't have Christians that have died from this coronavirus. So, God, Abi, Shebi, you are saying, in case we even want to say that those that are not saved, they are not saved. Those are the, so, you know, some people say that the virus is to destroy those that are sinning. Is to destroy. If you that are not sinning, why don't you go out and why don't you go out and mix with people? Yeah, you are not. You see, in fact, let me say it this way: we are to be as good as God to the degree at which God has shown His goodness. So what does that mean? We learn goodness from God. In fact, hold your hands in Luke chapter 11 and go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew 5, verse 44. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil. Not He sent corona to the evil. Yeah, He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth His rain on the just and on the unjust. Not He sends His rain to the unjust and sends corona to the unjust. Not that He sends His rain to the just and sends corona to the unjust, so the just should not pray for the rock. The just should not pray for the rain to flush out the unjust. Haba. Yeah, let's stop all these nursery school tales. Yeah. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? What is He saying? Look at verse 48, chapter 5, Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So the moment you are saying be as perfect as your Father is perfect, it simply means that we are to emulate God. That means the same. If we say God does evil to people that are not on His side, in quote, we can as well do evil to people. Yeah, we can as well take a gun and go and just kill people. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you know what, I say something. A proper understanding. See, I want this to serve as an admonition to us that God is not angry with us. Yeah, God is not in a bad state. Yeah, God is not putting judgment on people by no. God is good and good only. Look at Luke 11, where you were going to before we went to Matthew 5. Luke 11, verse 13. It says, Ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Yeah? How do you receive? You receive by believing the gospel, the Spirit that has been given upon resurrection. Oh, glory to God. The believer is full of power. Yeah, remember we're about to run up. The believer is full of power. The believer is full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you think that is questionable, go to John 14, 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. See, yeah, remember the Bible was written in English. Yeah, that word another comforter, if you look at it in a layman English, you look as if it's talking about a different comforter. No. That word there is alos, is the word that means same. Yeah, I will pray the Father, He shall give you the same comforter, that same Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. Oh, glory to God. The Spirit of God can never leave a believer. The Spirit of God is in the believer forever. Oh, glory to God. That is what Scripture says. He says, He will abide with you forever. He will abide with you forever. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, look, see verse 17. Luke, and John rather, 14, 17. That Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now that Christ has resurrected from the dead, the Holy Spirit is now in us. In fact, go to Ephesians 1:13. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. O scoba foken and a bosh, copels keva, con and a boseva, co ked a bosh. Most poor can table, scopo keva, get a bosh, so greveka the bosh, epos of a can and a bosh. That there are more men that are coming to the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. More men who will stand for the truth of God's word. More men who will stand for the truth of God's word, irrespective of the number that are on their side. More men who will stand for the simplicity in God's word. More men who will stand and emphasize on the fullness of the Spirit of God that dwells in the believer. Oh, glory to God. We're in that day and time. Oh, no. In our generation, the truth of God's word will prevail in the land. That is the hearts of men. Oh, glory to God. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Yeah, he's talking to believers this time. The gospel of your salvation. What is the word of truth? The word of truth is that good news of your salvation. There is nothing good about a news that when you get saved, you need to maintain the salvation. If I just leave me where I am, don't let me get it and now want to walk towards. No. Leave me where I am. The good news is that good news of our salvation, God's saving power. He says, in whom also you have trusted, you have believed. When you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Lift your hands wherever you are and say, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah, Jesus said in John 14, he says that he will never leave you. He will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews says that. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh, I am God's prized possession. I am God's purchased possession. God has bought me with a price. The price for my being is in the work of Christ. The price for my being is in the blood, which is the spirit that is given. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. He says, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you are sealed. You are full of power. You know what that means? It means that you are the postcode of power. See, let me say it this way. It means that you are the address of power. It means that you are the reservoir of power. Yeah, you know what you call a reservoir? That tank in your house where you used to save water. Yeah, but the difference is that this one is unending. Yeah, you are the reservoir of power. So you are the person, you are a man full of the Holy Ghost that can turn on that tap for water to flow. Yeah, that is power. You can unleash power. You can release power. You are the address of power. So if you are saying, let's look for God's power, what do you look for? The believer. In fact, if you think that is not true, that same Ephesians chapter 1, go to verse 17. Yeah, finally, this is where we're ending, verse 17. Yeah, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yeah, what Paul is really saying is that Father may give you wisdom and revelation of that spirit. Yeah, how do you get wisdom and revelation? In the knowledge of Christ. Look at the prayer that Paul is praying. Remember from verse 16, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is his prayer? Verse 18, that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know the hope of his calling. See, Paul, think about it this way. Paul actually had to pray for people to see the riches of that glory that God bestowed upon us by the giving of his spirit. You see, a believer is a rich man. Yeah, I can give you that teaching on God's rich man. Every believer is a rich man. Yeah, God's riches is not money. God's riches is not material. No. That's an insult on God. Because we have men on earth that can... let's not go there. Yeah. We have men that can put all our accounts together and the total of what we have is not up to the 10% of it. You understand what I'm saying? So if God is after material, no, there is something greater that God came to give through Christ. Anything that mankind could have without Christ coming is not part of why Christ came. No, your money is not part of the blood. No. Your house is not part of the blood. Yeah, let's stick to understanding the riches, that our eyes of understanding is enlightened to see the riches. Look at it, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And this is the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints. So God's riches in glory is in the saints. There's an inheritance for the saints in the saints. But Paul is saying that your eyes of understanding might be enlightened to see this. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Yeah, this verse is a verse that constitutes the highest concentration of power, almost in the epistles, or in fact, we can even say in the entire Bible. Yeah, what Paul is really saying is that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see the exceeding greatness. You see, that word exceeding is when you do something that superpasses. Yeah, upa balo, when you pass the limit. Yeah, so God went too far to show you the greatness of his power. Yeah, and that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see the riches of his glory. What is the riches of his glory? It is the exceeding greatness, the powerful power of his power. Oh, glory to God. The powerful power of God's power towards us, word. To us, word. So how do we know God is powerful? Look at what he did in that redemptive work towards the believer. Oh, there is no believer that lacks power. Oh, my dear sisters, my dear brothers, there is no believer that lacks power. No believer lacks power. There is no believer that lacks power. Oh, glory to God. The believer is full of power. Yeah, the believer is full of power. Yeah, so during this time, don't give room to fear. Don't give in to fear. Why? Because the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power, that is the exceeding, the powerful power of his power. Yeah, so take his power and take the powerful power of that power. It was wrought towards the believer. Yeah, so how do we see God's power? He rose Christ from the dead. And a man that believes that power was wrought towards him. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that same spirit in you that is full of power can make you heal sicknesses. That same spirit in you can make you cure diseases. Yeah, yeah, this is the confidence we have. Yeah, we are not scared, we are not timid. There is no fear yet. Yeah, we maintain all the hygiene and all the washing your hands with sanitizers and alcohol and spirit and everything. We maintain them 200% alcohol per bottle. Yeah, wash your hands. But the truth is that don't give in to fear. Oh, fear is not of God. Yeah, there is no fear of God. There is no fear in that spirit that has been given to us. Yeah, there is no fear in that spirit. Yeah, so remember, you must first have an understanding that God is good and good always. Oh, lift your hand and say, God is good to me. Lift your hand and say, God is good to me. Lift your hand and say, God is good to me. God is forever good to me. Oh, glory to God. You see, all of this that is happening is not the last that will happen. Oh, it's not the last that will happen. No. There are more that will come. But remember, our standpoint remains the same. God's powerful power has been demonstrated towards us. We are full of power. We are full of power. Oh, glory to God. We are full of power. We are full of power. Yeah, the believer is full of power. Yeah, I want you to say that with a conviction. Yeah, lift your hand and say, I'm full of God's power. Oh, glory to God. I'm full of God's power. See, you are full of God's power. You are full of God's power. Yeah, you are full of God's power. A proper understanding of God's nature will make you demonstrate this absolute power. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We're not scared. We're not timid. We know that God's ability is for salvation to be seen. Oh no, God's ability is to save. Oh, we are full of power. Yeah, that's a good place to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Ah, glory to God, I'm full of power. Yeah, make that your confession. I'm full of power. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of power. I'm full of power. I do not lack power. Yeah, there is no fear in the Spirit of God that is in me. There is no fear in the Spirit of God that is in me. I'm full of power. I'm full of power. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I'm full of power. Oh, glory to God. God is not angry. Oh, God is not angry. Oh, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so with all of this, I mean, we'll continue subsequently. Go with this knowledge. There is a fullness of God's Spirit living in you. God did not come into you partially. No. You can heal the sick. You can heal yourself. In fact, in our next meeting, we'll speak about the importance of words and how words can get people healed. In this season, maintain a positive spirit. Maintain positive confessions. Don't give in to fear. No, this has come to pass. You know, from when this started, I've told whoever cared to listen or has spoken to me about it. From a month ago, I've been speaking about how this is going to end very soon. It's going to end very soon. Yeah, but remember, that is not really the good news. That will end very soon is a good news. There is that the good news. The good news is that gospel of our salvation. Yeah, that word of truth. The gospel that Christ died and he rose again and he lives in us forever. That is the good news. Yeah, every other good news is not as good as this good news. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, it has come in and out of season. We maintain the simplicity of God's word. Yeah, so don't give in to fear. Yeah, it's good to get yourself abreast with the news and put it on channels and keep hearing 50 new cases here and there, 3 new cases, self-isolation. You know, I'm sure that's the most frequent word now on our lips. Everybody, self-isolation. That's fine. Yeah, remember, the faith and medicine and knowledge, they are not, faith and information in reference to natural activities, they are not enemies. It's good to know that, but don't let that overwhelm you more than the word of truth, more than the truth of God's word. Yeah, for every time you see 3 people are at this, yeah, remind yourself you are full of power. Remind yourself you are the address of power. Remind yourself that you are God's powerful reservoir. Remind yourself that you are the reservoir of God's power. Oh, glory to God. Remind yourself that you are full of power. Yeah, sickness has no, you are born of God. He says, the Bible says that he that is born of God has overcome the world. You have overcome the world. Yeah, yeah, no fear. Don't give in to fear. No panicking. Yeah, yeah, maintain what the government asks you to do. Do this, do that. Yeah, what the doctor say, do that. But no panicking. No panicking. Wear your mask. Yeah, you want to cover your eye. That's fine. In Google and everything. Yeah, wear caps. Wear everything. Yeah, you know, today I was driving. I saw lots of surgeons driving cars. You know what I mean? Yeah, with all the latest gloves and everything, the nose, everything. No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, but for every news you hear concerning what is happening, remind yourself of God's power. Let the truth of your reality be on your lips forever. Let the truth of your reality be in your lips. Yeah? Never giving. Never giving. This is the work of the devil. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Oh, no, we have life. We have it abundantly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for having fellowship with me this evening. We trust it's been a beautiful time. Yeah? We trust that God's word prevails, and in our day and time, we'll see the truth of God's word prevail. That's fine. Yeah? Have a beautiful evening. Yeah? Regards to everyone. I love you all. Bye.